last year, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to assess a few people. We don't want to bore you with any pleasantries in it. Let's go straight to it. We have a few categories we're going to look at. First, best and worst ministers. Second, we'll do your assess the MPs. Best and worst member of parliament. You know, your favorite, you know, public servant, if you like, if there's any. And then anything else that, you know, gets into that, we'll talk about. So let's start. Okay. So this year has been a very interesting year indeed. I mean, the IMF program kickstarted. There's a lot of politics. Baumia became flag bearer of the MPP first, you know, not what I said. So a lot has happened this year. Still, we didn't have a major reshuffle. You know?
That's true.
So the ministers were kept, you know, in their positions historically. It hasn't happened before. Yeah. If we don't assess them now, this is the last opportunity for us to assess them because next year, everybody else will.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
On December 7th. Next year, by this time.
I'm taking the general decision on the government anyway.
Exactly. So let's deliver our verdict. Let's start. Let's start with the best performing minister. Okay. That's everybody will do this.
You start with your own.
No, me, I'm last because I'm starting. I'm last. So I'm here first.
You will let yourself say, I'm last.
Next time, wear this one.
Okay, so that's why.
They
are powerful people.
Yes. When you wear this one, you can decide. Okay.
Frankly, it's been one of the most difficult questions to answer this year.
The best, right?
Yes.
It is.
There are some who are positives, who look very promising, but let's not lie to ourselves. They have huge negatives too. So, for example, you know, last year, who did we say was the best? We were talking about the energy minister, right?
Energy minister, yes.
That's what we say.
So, Dunso was not around.
It would have been easy for you to repeat that same today.
Yeah.
But it will be unconscionable when you know deep within your heart you slept in Dunso last night. When you know IPPs are chasing you left, right, center, to still give that plaudit to the man. I don't know if you get my point.
Yeah.
So, he's doing well, but it doesn't make sense to me to come and say that he's the best minister today. Because we know the reality on the ground, that we are barely surviving in the energy sector. In fact, we are in unofficial doom, so if people pretend that they are not. There is, but it's being managed one way or the other. So in all fairness, I'm not so sure. That's why I'm saying it will be difficult. The other person would have also been the education minister. And I am a huge critic of free SHS.
But we all are.
Yes.
Free SHS himself.
Yes. I have done so, but I think one of the biggest innovations in our education sector is the STEM pursuit. And the fact that they are willing to not only talk about it, build schools around it, recruit students, recruit machinery. It is a game changer that can really revolutionize our education. Except we will not, if Adutum leaves office today, pursue that beyond him. Because it appears to be his personal vision, which I'm even convinced there are people in GES today who have not bought into it. So I think it's one of the best things we can do. And if we expand it, if we look at STEM the next 20, 30 years, we will build a certain critical mass of people who will drive our innovation, who let Ghanaians compete like other countries are competing. But if you strike that against the state of basic education in the country today, stroke every single week in this country, there's a school that they have not paid electricity bill for, who government has not released money to go and pay, and they are struggling. And the difficulties in free SHS, it is difficult to mention Adutum as the best. You see why I'm bringing out these ones? Mm-hmm. Because they look to be doing well, but there are so many positives that waters down the purity of their performance in ways that I cannot wholeheartedly say they are the best. Now, who else comes to mind? And in this conversation, it is clear because of what I declared last year about our finance minister, it is maybe not worth going there in the first place. He is struggling from the bottom, so I can never put him in those who are at the top. We know the state of our economy. We know today, some of us, when we go to church, we pray like the way, people pray for good things and all of that. We pray that China will have a change of heart and agree to our creditor, whatever arrangement, and play ball. That if they play ball, the IMF will get our money for us.
So long story short, who is your best performing minister?
Can we defer this year's Mo Ibrahim, there are some times he says, I can't find a very wonderful president on the continent. So I'm deferring the question for, yes.
So you're saying?
I deep within my heart.
Okay.
Do not think that I've seen an extraordinary man I can say stands out. Raymond, I'll not lie to
so
you.
So for you, this Evans, year,
yes,
you can't find one minister
mm-hmm.
appointed by President Akufo-Addo
mm-hmm.
who qualifies to be named best performing.
Yes, I'll not lie to you.
Hold on.
Oh, but I'm not
by the way, it says it's working now. And that's why we run into a few technical challenges.
Don't go around in circles.
Apologies for that.
In the midst of all the things that you've said,
yes.
Put all of them in the pot. Choose one.
All the people.
Let's do the star 9 grading system. Star 9 grading system. If the highest person had 50, 50 is one.
It's not, you don't have a pass mark already determined.
No. The first 4%. So let's start. Choose. Don't go around in circles. Or should I choose a
then I may add another person.
Okay, add.
You see, he is best performing not because he did extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. He is best performing because I will not lie to you. He had to weather the storm in a precarious situation more than any minister in this republic. And that is the gentleman as Minister for Parliamentary Affairs. Mm-hmm. Osei Chemens Abosu cannot lobby for his own constituency in Suame. They are chasing him. In parliament, majority, his own people are on his head. Government is on his head. Mm. Minority is on his head. Sometimes you can pity that guy. I don't know if you are going back to Lehman's time, but you tell me, when did we have such a man in a difficult situation like this? Mm. That the MPP is still surviving today, I believe it's partly due to his works.
So?
But I'm saying he is one that comes close to doing something extraordinary. Can be called
the best minister.
Nah, I think that you should understand
yeah,
that. I
am
okay. I hear you.
Now
I was happy your microphone was not working.
The very thing you accuse me of doing. Yeah. What you're doing.
No, he's not happy. Somebody is
that's
doing this.
That's looking for him.
Yeah, his style.
No, you're accusing me. You're doing the very thing you accuse me of doing.
Okay,
so in fairness, I think it will be a set team member who comes up small amongst. See, Primus inter pares.
Mm.
Best among equals.
Mm. The land of the
blind. This is the one-eyed man. Yes, I believe.
I mean,
so.
I agree. Osei Chemens Abosu has done a very good job. Mm-hmm. Putting Parliament together and making sure that sometimes when it's very difficult, we use juju and tricks to make sure that the votes are not cast, so they can go and come back and go and rally members and come in.
Yes,
he's done well on that score. The bit about Edutrum. I mean, I've had my own disagreements with that. I asked myself a very simple question. SHS 1 students went to school, and we had to take this thing to school. They went to school and came back. Today, I'm sure that my daughter is going to be coming back from school. And you ask yourself, so what did they go to do? They didn't learn anything. They went there and they were praying.
Everyday prayer.
Or they were doing
what
you don't know.
They are building the
orientation that lasts more
moral
than 2 weeks. I don't
development.
Understand. But, you see, when you have a minister who's committed to something, because we've always talked about technology. I mean, lack of technical know-how. Our usual recall society, social studies, low lack of technical know-how, corruption, poor rules, those kind of things. But when you have somebody who's bent on ensuring that we are able to bridge the technological gap, and that's Yawase Edutrum. For me, that alone, there are still problems with, school placements. Mm-hmm. There are still problems with free SHS. The bit about utility is not being paid. The whole problem with free SHS is release of funds and also deciding that boarding should be free, which I think sometimes is out of his hands. But I would have expected him as minister to suggest to the president, like Enufriata did, that Mr. President, we cannot continue like this.
But what did they do to him?
Well,
the Minister of Information came to say that our finance minister, cabinet minister, does not speak for government.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
But you see, for me, that's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
But having said all of these things, I think that for taking that bold step to bridge the technological gap, deciding today that we shall build STEM schools from beginning to end, deciding that TVET, hitherto say, technical college and a vocational school, for deciding that even that the formation of the TVET Council and service and everything. I think that I would give, I mean, I've told you about the challenges in here. I agree with Raymond. But if you were to put all the ministers together, I would say that Dr. Yao Ose-Educhum, Dr. Yao Ose-Educhum is the best performing minister for this year, based on what he's been able to do. I still have my challenges with the schools of shame. But this is only because, I mean, and so if
the
you look at...
Educhum is yours.
Educhum is yours. So that's Educhum.
Yes, so today
I didn't go around.
Because you wanted to say Educhum, that's why he was fighting me over there.
Yeah. It's okay, now you understand.
No, but I have told you.
Well, I'll go straight. I land where you finished, which is Seamus Abonso. For a few reasons. If you look at the recent budget, that was a recent battle they had to fight. He outmaneuvered the minority again. When it came to it, and this is him representing the government business in the House, a government business that he must prosecute with many more MPs who are ministers who are traveling doing other things. And when it came to it, he managed to somehow convince the speaker not to take the question on the first day. In fact, scuttled it a bit and adjourned to the next day. I think it was Thursday or 2 days later, when he knew he can mobilize his people. When it came to it, every single member, including the independent who votes for the MPP side, was in the House. All 138. Including people who had traveled. The week before, we had been told, a few days before, we had been told that...
Five.
Yeah, five were away.
Yeah.
Including Kennedy Pond, who I believe was in the US. A few days later, all of them were in the House.
Mm-hmm.
138 voted. In fact, it was so good that the minority guys who pushed the thing to a vote, they asked for the vote because they wanted to reject it, could not bring all their people.
Yeah.
To the House. And that tells you the strength of the man, right? Then also, go beyond his work in Parliament. He has set up this committee, the Constitutional Review Committee.
A committee that's working to bring that back to proper focus. Yeah.
Exactly. And also look at what can be done. And I thought that's a great initiative. It is not squarely within his remit, but he decided to take it on.
The membership of the committee.
Great people he's put together, assembled, to try and look at what we can do with the document that we have not implemented, although we spend millions and millions of dollars
putting
on.
Together.
And we've had conversations about it recently. Mm. He stirred the pot a bit. He himself had radical ideas about what we can do about it. And for me, that initiative and the great work he's done in Parliament, he's had more wins since the defeat, since the humiliating Abambabin defeat, than the MPP.
No, I get you. Yeah.
Right. He's had more wins and maneuvered them, including Ofori-Atta's election, confirmation.
With the slimmest,
slimmest margin he can actually work with. And so for me, he gets it. He gets the best performing minister for me. Okay, so that's done. Let's quickly go to worst performing minister. Raymond.
Let's start with Winston.
Winston.
Ken Ofori-Atta.
Why?
Ah, do you like the economy you're in?
Isn't
it not the same person that all his ministers, all his MPs said that we're told about 90 of his MPs said that he should.
This same year. Does this year that this happened, right?
I mean, so this man, I mean, there's no way that you can say that Ken Ofori-Atta is the best performing.
Okay, so he's the worst performing.
It was at the end of last year that the MP started and he promised them that he was going to go when he gets an IMF program. The IMF program, you see, we are still struggling even up until this time. The same person who promised us there will be no haircut. That was last year. By the time we concluded with this, we're told that individual bondholders were not part of it. Individual bondholders became
part of
it.
By the time we finished, you didn't have a haircut, we had a head cut.
Yes. They said, pension bondholders were not going to be part of it. At the end of it, they were being told that they should be part of it, and it also became another issue. If you look at all of these, if you look at the state of our economy, where we find ourselves, I don't think that he would compete with someone like K.T. Hammond. You know? But... yes, because K.T. Hammond is in a ministry that doesn't seem to understand what is happening around him. Yeah. Every question, maybe if you ask him, ask him any question today. I mean, the minister decides that he's going to impose restrictions on import.
And why?
He says, these people have told me they can supply. He hasn't done any analysis.
Can you
so these people have, you did that interview. Yeah. We didn't want to tell you that the people have told him.
But he was a very bold.
Bold what?
Policy.
Evans, don't take bold decisions based on emotions.
When you have access to data.
Hey, where there is data, you never take decisions based on emotions. If you do that, you are... And if, I mean, why would you go and take decisions? So, you know, K.T. Hammond will compete with Ken Ofori-Atta, But I think that because of the status of the Ghanaian economy and because of the problems we're going through, I still think that Ken Ofori-Atta, I'm even surprised that he's still not out of office. I'm surprised that he's still there. I mean, we had suggested here that Ken Ofori-Atta, I mean, if Akufo-Addo was really bent on ensuring that the NPP breaks the eight, but now Ken Ofori-Atta should have been gone.
So Ken Ofori-Atta for you? You?
I don't want to do what I did previously. So I agree with you that any day, one of the biggest problems, and yesterday, Benjamin Podo said the biggest threat to Ghana's decentralization program is Ken Ofori-Atta. He will not release money. If the Supreme Court tells him to release the money, he will not release it. Even calculations, he does his own calculation. The man is basically acting as if he's running his personal country in some island somewhere. But let's track it properly on Ken Ofori-Atta. What were we told about IMF in the first place? And even with IMF, let's get the facts wasting. Today, the people who told us that we are going to get a 600 million chips, we met our part. We're giving deadlines to the people that we owe. We're giving them deadlines. As we said, how many days to the end of the year? 21st is today. Less than 10 days to the end of the year. There's no sign. In fact, they said the World Bank people could meet. China has not agreed. So World Bank people will meet in January.
Yeah,
January. So hook or crook, there's no way we are getting the money by the end of the year. Tell me the very thing that Ken Ofori-Atta has said in this country that's come to pass, truthfully. A man who works right and quotes the Bible. You tell me what he has said about this economy that's come to pass.
Old Testament.
Abba! So, if we're one of those countries where what the finance minister says impacts the economy. You think about what that happened in our economy with Ken Ofori-Atta in charge. From all the promises that the man has
made. You see how incredible his words
are. Yes! And sometimes the things he says calmly, with some confidence, and you believe that it will work out properly for you at the end of the day. They'll move on, or he'll move on like, and then you go and do, you know, they did Thanksgiving service as a ministry. That's one of the most shameful things anybody can do in their lives. See, the only Thanksgiving they did was that I'm thanking God I'm still minister. Because it is for him, not for the people of this country. That ministry has no business thanking anybody.
So you agree he's the worst?
He's the worst?
Yes, I agree he's the worst.
I agree too. I don't have to. Where the economy is.
He gets me annoyed and angry for no reason.
It carries it for me. And it's not like the IMF program is going well. It's not going well.
Yeah.
Where we are right now.
We can't even pretend again. We are back down now. We are using prayer.
They're giving us plenty deadlines where we are going to. It's not happening. So even
when we said it, they said we're lying. Today, that's just what we're
saying. Exactly. They told us we're lying. They've missed the first November 1. They said we're lying. We told them that we're not lying. You are. And as a pound. So Ofori-Atta, don't believe at the point. Hands down. Carries it for us. I wish the bell was here.
Yeah,
the bell is in the SMS studio.
We should have brought that bell because it is significant that we ring that bell on Ofori-Atta. Ofori-Atta is...
Producer should get it. Please bring the bell.
But I am still surprised he's at post.
Well, he is at post because of one man.
He should be gone by now. But even let's say the president wants you to be at post. You can afford
you, the human being.
You
the Christian white-wearing person.
When after the budget, when we thought he was going to go.
Yeah.
There were rumors, swept around.
Yeah, there were rumors that he was going.
But he's there.
Someone at the ministry told me that from the conversation
we have with him. Maybe we did.
And at the Thanksgiving, can you believe that? He was telling everybody that next year will be good to him and all of that, which invariably meant next year I'm still around. Really? Even in the election year?
Yeah, please prepare. We're going to be saddled with him for the next one until elections.
It's embarrassing.
So, worst and best ministers done. Let's go to Parliament. First of all, best MP.
MP.
Best performing MP.
100%. One person. Investigative journalist, advocate general, relief officer for the end. How many of the other MPs do you know in the place that that was flooding?
No.
And I'm bringing it home. This is Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa.
I think this one, there's unanimity here.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa. Look,
the gentleman is sitting in Mepe also. He's still fighting matters in Parliament. His colleagues are sleeping on the job.
No.
He comes in to come and debate matters. And others, I'm saying you, the other MPs that are in there.
I say that guy.
This one is Northton,
Northton
too was actually. I didn't even record that the man was.
He was. Even the way he was speaking about the thing.
How many people called you that they wanted to go and donate?
I mean,
didn't mention that Okudzeto is the one they are going to give it to.
Representation.
Yes, he gives true meaning to it.
The best MP. Samuel Okudzeto.
Hands down.
100%.
Then the voucher awards for the MP.
The worst MP.
I think in Parliament we are we are all agreed on.
Sarah Joasafo.
Sarah Joasafo. And there's so much to say about her, right? So this is a woman who abandoned her work and her constituents, went to the United States,
sat on TikTok and was singing to us.
Singing to us.
Came back with an accent.
Robin, exactly. Well, in fact, the accent had disappeared now.
Okay.
You see how nonsensical it can be.
The accent has disappeared now. And now, somehow, and for me, that's the biggest tragedy, is how the Speaker of Parliament, and I think he's number one, the members of Parliament, the MPP, and the President have all conspired to spit in the face of the Constitution of this great Republic of Ghana. Don't take my word for it. Listen to the Speaker himself, who sat in this chair and told us that, according to his records, this failed MP has breached the constitutional threshold for sittings that she's missed that triggers the vacancy clause, that she should, in essence, be removed from her position as a member of parliament. And yet, we're sitting here several months on, and he has not even had the courtesy of telling us why he hasn't delivered that verdict. He was going to give us, he told us, he was going to give us a verdict and read out for us his ruling.
Look, it's a complete shame.
Today, she's been rewarded.
Yes.
She's not only in the House and hasn't lost her job, she's been given a very important position on the committee. I think the one I know is the vice chair of the Constitutional and Legal Affairs Committee, deputy to Mr. Nyimedoto, who was on radio, by the way, when we asked him to say, oh, yeah, it's okay, I'm going to work for him.
Look,
but we know. That, for me, is a tragedy. And Evans, she's the worst performing
the
MP.
The NPP, and I would make a point about the NPP. In fact, I am surprised that the NPP, of course, they would need her votes.
Mm-hmm.
But the NPP must not allow Joasafo to contest the primaries in January.
I don't know if she will.
If the NPP is serious, if all the things they told us, if all the contemplations, if their own members of parliament were the ones leading the charge that she should be sacked from parliament, the NPP should not be allowing Joasafo to be contesting the parliamentary primaries. Today, she's all over the place. You've seen her, you've talked about her. She's on campaign teams. And you see, what saddens me is the fact that you have this member of parliament who neglected everybody, didn't care about anybody, then goes back and starts the blackmail. First, she started, while she was there, that, oh, her child had issues, he wasn't well, and that if, you know, if she's Minister of Gender and Social Protection, Children and Social Protection, she should show, she start from home, charity begins at home with her child. Then later on, she comes and I hear her campaigning around, going around the markets and saying, oh,
Please. Yeah, adding that
please,
to it.
Please. This is it for me. You go out there without permission. You're asked to come to the country. You don't care. When it is only time for you to now come and seek re-election, then you show up in the country and take your constituents for fools. And so you're coming back and trying so hard to win party primaries, which in a constituency like Dom Kwabena would be a guarantee for you to get back to parliament.
But that would be a tragedy if the people vote for her.
It will be a tragedy.
I think if the party won't put this foot down and sanction her, if the parliament won't do it, the people must.
If the people don't,
then it's Omara.
But Winston, you know me, initially, I said, well, if the woman says she's taking care of her child, please, let's respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said that? I did it because I gave her the benefit of the doubt that a mother is making tough choices. And in our part of the world, it's a very, very difficult place for women to combine everything. So perhaps as gender minister, she's struggling to do ministerial job, do MP job, and do the rest. There are a lot of people who insulted me for it. But I feel very embarrassed. Because all of that was some shambolic or a
charade.
Yes. And you see, it's not just the TikTok and the other things. It's the fact that every single day, a woman changes the story about why she was out there.
Yeah.
And the quest to come back, take her pride of place, and create the impression that nothing has happened. Even apology to those domain market women. No. Then she'll go and share those useless drinks.
Yogurt and all.
Yes. So that after not representing you for God knows how long, the best I can do is to make sure that you get something small. That In fact, I know she was removed as minister. Adjoa Safo has no role in our public service.
Not at all.
No. She is a complete shame to that institution. Mm. She disrespected everybody in this country.
Yeah.
She took all of us for granted. It is enough for you to do these things and be remorseful and say, listen, I don't want to be part of your system. But to seek to continue to play your role, to even say that they should make those reshuffles in parliament so that they give you some roles to play, with all due respect. When we do some of these things, we undermine the democracy. We make people feel that we are joking. We are not serious. Because
we are joking.
There are people in Domek Kwabena today, 10 times replacement possibilities. But because of how we have structured the politics, they will not get through the ranks. Yeah. And this man has hijacked the policy to the place due to father's arrangement, due to the other people are tied for also who will consistently live on their own. I think at some point, somebody should also sit here down. If it can't be MPP or even a family, they should tell her the truth to the face. That if or not, go and sit somewhere and reflect about your conduct.
But you see, that won't
what
happen.
You did was terrible.
Well, if it doesn't happen, look, as for Joseph, she has no business going back to parliament.
Yes.
I mean, the delegates should do us the service. If they don't, then the constituents should do the service by voting against her.
Yeah. Hmm. And I believe this is the biggest tragedy this year.
Yeah.
It is.
It's the biggest tragedy this year to have.
No, because she keeps changing the narrative. Yeah. At every instant, she's changing, she's telling me a different story. And you know, to even have the guts to go. I mean, distributing your gut. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, what an insult.
What an insult.
Can you believe that?
What an insult to the people there. But again, I haven't seen the people revolt. Not yet, at least.
The kind of politics we do.
You know, we have the people must revolt.
Well, they will. They will in the election. Well, let's see how it goes.
So, on Adjoa Safo, the bell is here. Absolutely hands down.
Yeah.
The worst
member of parliament.
Member of parliament ever, possibly. Possibly ever.
Yeah.
Possibly
yeah.
ever.
Yeah, possibly. In fact, after Adjoa Safo,
you know, also because, I mean, members of parliament have been absent without permission before, but nobody had come back with this impunity.
That's true.
Nobody had shown this impunity. Yes, I mean, they hide. You know,
they will not seek re-election.
Nobody has done this.
In fact, they show some remorse
some remorse.
So that they respect the human beings involved.
Impunity, you know, so after Adjoa Safo, he's gone. I'm going to wrap up. Best public servant. I mean, and this is non-political. I mean, any public servant. And so you throw in there people like, and this for me was important because if you have OSP in there, possibly, you have accountant general.
No. Public servant, I said. Stop, please.
I mean, you have the IGP in there.
Yes.
What else? You know, you have the board chairman of the airports company. In there.
He's not part of
No. Please, you are sticking to there.
Evans, let's get serious.
No, we said the best ones. Yeah,
the best ones. Let's get serious.
But, okay,
let's get serious.
Yeah, NCA. Okay, so choose your choice.
Me.
You're planning to, best
public servant.
Yeah.
I'll give it to the statistical service boss.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, the gentleman has reformed that statistical space. And I think that sometimes people hide in corners and do things that are revolutionary. Because they are not mainstream and some people don't understand the work that they do. Today, and anybody who uses data in this country knows that the statistical service with their stats bank and co, today, their website provides all the data they have. The ones that do this have to go and beg them, have to go and write letters to it free for researchers, for development communication, for virtually everything that you need to do to make sure that you have enough information to do your work. If our ministries, including the guy who was going to do restrictions, was minded that he needed data.
Yes.
One of the worst ministers. If he was minded that he needed data to do his work properly, he could have even gone for data. It's not good to the ministry or statistical service or the website to do that.
Okay.
So me, I think that after change that is meaningful and impactful, I think Professor Enim deserves it.
You?
Look, let me get up properly and continue from where Raymond left it.
Mm-hmm.
Which government statistician has been bold enough to say that if we want to curb inflation, we have all the items which over the period are between 1700 and even more than 100%. So if you want policy, the data is that the data is showing you.
And even times they say policy drivers.
Yes. Look.
As in the things we discuss, that we target this one so that I can reduce inflation.
So this guy,
he
this
tells
guy,
you with his data.
Yes, this
which
guy
is a very dangerous thing because you are saying that these are the things driving inflation.
Yeah, because
and government will not be happy with that.
No, but you know. So when you know the things that are driving inflation, it's either I mean, within the medium to long term,
you target
you look at import substitution because a lot of our inflation is imported. Mm. Then two, you actually would look at even reduction of import duties because you probably would see that the consumption of that, and you also would look at the weight placed on these items.
Yeah.
Where the consumption is huge, the weight is higher. Mm-hmm. So you look at it and say, oh, if you look at all of these things, it's an indication that I have to probably start thinking about it. And I probably may have to think about even a reduction on import duties so I can bring inflation down. Now, this is a man who's provided us with everything. Talk about housing data. Okay, we know the properties in this country. And that's why today when we are doing the analysis, we can actually say that if you have about a million properties in this country, and we have, and we say that we are going to property rates of less than 200 million, where's the money going to?
Oh, yeah.
Because if I am paying more than 1,000 Ghana cedis as property rate in the place where I live, everyone should be paying more than 1,000 Ghana cedis. But let me make that point. This
in my
man,
forest.
This man is actually giving us enough data that if we had leaders who were data-driven, whose decision-making was data-driven, Evans, we will not be where we are today.
Okay.
So for that man,
Prof,
I give it to him.
Is the
Professor Samuel Kobna Enim.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The best performing public servant.
He gets it, yes.
For me, is the IGP.
Okay.
George Akufo Dampare. Absolutely.
Why?
He's transformed for me the image of the police service. Now, have you
by crying before the committee?
Let me give you a committee. But that committee actually showed why he is the best. People were concerned. This is the thing about this country. When you have reformers, transformational leaders, you have internal resistance. And for me, this whole chaos that we saw, led by the guy who wants to now go and contest in the quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you have somebody in the mold of Dampare, who really was bringing radical reforms in the police service, revolutionary, really, internally, wanted things to work, follow the principles and the rules and regulations. People wanted to have their way. And he's managed to bring the discipline. For me, that's the main thing. Discipline the service. You know, Ghanaians, we don't like discipline. We are averse to discipline. For me, that's it. We are averse. We have this genetic makeup that just abhors discipline.
They know the thing, but they don't know the way.
So when you bring somebody who wants to instill discipline, they'll fight him, which is what is happening. Nonetheless, he stood his ground. And I think considering what he's faced with this Bugri Nabu and this gentleman who had the misfortune of interviewing, who of course, is going to contest, tells you he stood his ground. It hasn't deflated his resolve to do what is right. And that's why I gave it to him. But let me give you my own personal example. So the IGP, they have these officers who ride on motorbikes, who they say the IGP has carefully selected them to enforce traffic regulations. Mm-hmm. So I was coming to the office, and I saw Amber. I was busy, so I went. But it's all red for me. I still maintain that point. And this police officer, flags me down and says, well, you jump the red. I said, no, I didn't get a red light. I'm not being jumped like Samba, you have to slow down. And then he says, well, I have my body calm.
Oh, okay.
Right? I have my body calm. So this officer, of course, it's me. You think that police officers see me and see us because you're on radio and television. They treat them with some deference, he didn't care. He drove me to the airport police station, checks me in. I was saying everything I had to say. Checks me in. And I said, checks me in and left. Then the officer says, oh, Evans, it's you. But these people, IGP has selected them. I can't do anything about it. And here's the thing. There's the best part. So this is they take my driver's license and because they have to process me for court. And it went on. But of course, the court process then delayed. This is not a big deal.
Yeah,
I have to go and pay
the thing. Yeah, go and pay a fine and move on.
I was okay with it. But the court took more than 2 months. They haven't processed. So I then reported it. But the thing is taking too long. What is this? I'm ready to pay the thing.
And they're holding on to your
My license too.
Yeah.
So you think that the IGP, who obviously in our position, we can all call sometimes and say, we'll intervene. Say, no, you. Radio, but you have to Face the music.
He wants to use you to set an example.
No, absolutely, ACP
Tando did that to one journalist. I'll give an example. This journalist also, ACP Tando, at the time he was MTTU. The guy just go across and said, oh, is this you? Yes.
But the reason why it's not what you're saying is, if it was public, then of course. But private, nobody knows about it.
But you are saying it today.
No, but that's my
point. That's an example.
No, but this is long time ago. I'm just bringing it up.
Yeah, but that's an example.
Because for me, it's the best.
No doubt he's doing obstruct justice.
No doubt he's doing a good job. No, he's doing a good job.
No, of course. For me, that's the point. That is a sort of discipline that the internal guys who are fighting him don't want.
I get your point.
You see, what would have happened is if I was one of those who also don't like discipline, what's to start fighting him?
Yeah, that's true.
We saw an MP who was arrested, who was crying on the radio.
Yes.
You've been arrested.
And he's above the law.
So they'll start conspiring against you. You remember the by-election?
Yeah.
When you have a sitting, an incumbent party complaining that the police
is not treating them.
For me, that complaint alone reaffirms my position that he is the best performing public servant this year, hands down. Look, that resistance that he's come up against, right, from the and he stood his ground. You have the general secretary of an incumbent party complaining about the police. What to be that?
I get your point.
And yet he stood his ground and did his work. That for me, hands down, wins it. Hands down. So, down Parry, in fact, if there's any IGP who deserves to be maintained under another administration, it's him.
Which is more likely because of how things are going.
But of course, the NDC have had their own issues with him sometimes.
Yes, but they're supporting him now.
I think
he's one person that a lot of Ghanaians would agree with you. He's actually worked on the image of the Ghana Police Service.
That's true.
He's changed the perception about the Ghana Police Service. He's done a lot of good things for the Ghana Police Service. So I'm not surprised. But I would always choose Professor Samuel Kobnenim ahead as the best performing public.
I agree with you. And we can actually put the two together. You see, the more we have some of these people doing their work properly, that is how this state will be built. So others should look up to them and do the same thing. We do not have personal problems with you.
In spite of resistance,
yes.
Do your job.
If you do your job properly, we will love you for it.
They can't touch them because there is a groundswell of support for what they do.
Yes.
If you touch them,
you look very bad. And terrible. Nobody wants to look bad, especially in an election year.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.